Hello and welcome to Lunch French Brooklyn, the podcast. Today we are chatting with Manon Kerjon, who runs Lost in Translation. Lost in Translation is a very exciting film club based in Paris, showcasing the best of French cinema with English subtitles. In the episode, Manon will tell us about how she came up with the idea with this film club and how she ran this super exciting film series. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode.
Hi, Manon, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here today. So we're going to talk about your extremely exciting endeavor, Lost in Frenchlation. It's such a cool name. How did you come up with the name?
We were brainstorming about the name for a while after we came up with the idea of the concept. I think at the beginning we were supposed to be called something way less original, like French Cinema Club or French Movie Club, FMC or something like that. And it's actually one of my best friends, and she actually came up with the name. I think we were discussing the movie by Sofia Coppola, and we were just thinking about this feeling of being lost in a city where you don't speak the language and you don't belong. And because I started the project with Matt, who is Australian and who didn't speak French at all, he had this feeling when living in Paris. Yeah, we just thought it was a good way to convey this feeling that every expat shares wherever you live. You know, where you don't speak the language, you don't really know where to go, what to do, how to make friends. So yeah, it's not from me, it's from one of my friends.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so how did you, because it's really interesting, your film club is really a place for expats from various countries, various paths of life to congregate and meet on a regular basis in a movie theater. But how did you add this film component to it? How did you decide that you're going to add the social aspect with the bar and the meetups, and you're going to have the film screenings happening at the same time?
It was more of the contrary. We thought, okay, there's a problem, which is if you don't speak French, you can't watch French films when you're in France. So how can we resolve this? Secondly, we thought we should add this social aspect to it because it's just as important. And we verified how much it was important because every month we send to our spectators a survey and we ask, what is the most important thing to you when you come to Lost in Translation events? Is it the social aspect with the drinks? Is it the screening of the French film with English subtitles? Or is it everything that goes around this screening, which could be a Q&A, a tour, a walking tour, or any kind of show that we're doing before or after the film? And the socializing aspect is 50% of why they come. Mm-hmm. So at the beginning it was more secondary, but now we know that it's really essential.
That's really interesting. And so how did you develop this segment of the events, the social aspect? Was it always a no-brainer, we're just gonna have a bar, or mm-hmm. did you try different things? Because you also have sometimes like walking tours or mm-hmm. before screening, so it's not just indoors.
Yeah. Well, firstly, we only work with theaters which have a bar because it's easier. Once I tried in a theater which didn't have a bar, and I was waiting for everyone at the front after the screening with a sign, and I made all of them follow me to a bar, Rue des Petites Écuries. We lost a lot of people along the way. People couldn't find the bar, and the bar was not privatized for Lost in Translation. So people couldn't really have a topic of conversation and like being sure that this person also doesn't speak French, you know. So we thought, okay, maybe it's easier if everything is at the same place. So I prefer to work with small independent theaters which have a bar and which usually have only one or two screens, so they know that everyone in the building is here for the same reason.
Yeah, that's a really, really important aspect. And a really cool thing that I noticed having attended like a lot of your screenings is that people do show up and they do come before the screening to have a glass of wine, and you have a few regulars who know each other. So you have like a really community. How did you gather all these people together? What kind of groundwork did you have to do to get this result?
Yes, so we do have a lot of regulars who have come for 7 years, especially retired Americans who are expats in France and who never learned the language. But we also have a lot of international students because I make sure every September and every January, so every beginning of the semester of the school year, to go to each university or school which welcomes international students. And they usually have like a welcome day where they tell them about how to manage their social security, how to make their way around Paris, how to get a phone number, etc. And then there's a cultural aspect. And I come at this moment and I say, you're in France, you're in the country where cinema was born, you don't speak French, it's okay, you can come to our screenings. And then I discovered Meetup, which is an app which is mostly used by English speakers. I don't think French people use it a lot, but Meetup was an interesting way to find more people, and they're really here to meet people. So I tried to bring little name tags at the event so they can write their name, and you know, it's kind of an icebreaker. And I usually reserve some seats or a place in the bar for them, because they're here to, you know, do language exchange or, you know, just meet people. And also, I think we have a lot of single French guys who come to hit on American girls. I notice them every event. I'm like, I know why you're here.
So it's more than just a film screening, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. And speaking of French cinema, our cinema is known for a lot of tropes, a lot of cliches. Often foreigners are not really used to actual French cinema. You know, they may know some mainstream titles like Les Intouchables or La Vie en Rose, but they're not necessarily familiar with some of the films that you show that are more art house. Are you sometimes like surprised by the way a film is seen by your audience?
Yes, it definitely happens. I try to make a selection of like a mix between blockbusters and more independent art house cinema, so they can, you know, just see everything that's on the menu and then they can make their choice. Although there are some films I refuse to show even if they ask me to. But yeah, I have to warn them sometimes because I don't think they're used to the, you know how in the US films could be rated R very easily, like Intouchables because they smoke a joint, Amélie, I think because there's like an orgasm scene and a lot of swearing. Here in France, it's a bit different. I think they know that it's a French film, so there are some cliches, but some are true. There's going to be a lot of smoking, swearing, nudity. But I try to explain to them that nudity is not a device for shock. It's more a device for aesthetics of the film. But yes, some people were mad at me sometimes for choosing some films because they really trust my choices, and sometimes they come and they don't even watch the trailer, and that's a big responsibility. And I remember screening Paul Verhoeven's Elle with Isabelle Huppert, which talks about rape, and some of the spectators came out of the screening room and they were yelling at me like, how can you impose this to us? We come to your events to relax and we end up with this. So you have to be careful.
Yeah, I guess definitely this is a cultural shock. I can imagine. That's interesting. Also, I'm very impressed by the way you build partnerships, because I think, for instance, last month you had like a screening of the movie La Dégustation, and mm-hmm. you had like some wine tasting because it's a movie about wine. You have those events, or when it's a film directed by a woman, you have women in Paris who do a tour before the screening. How do you build those partnerships? How do you imagine those events?
I like the experience to be not just about the film, but to be more complete. So anything that the movie inspires me, I try to build partnerships. And usually people are very happy to, you know, make their brand or their activity discovered by international communities. So yeah, we had stand-up comedy when we show a comedy. We had theater once we showed César et Rosalie. And we had a French musical who came to perform, which was called Montand, le French Lover. We had movies about dance this year, the one from Clapiche, which was really good encore. So I asked a dancing company to come and perform. Yeah, the spectators really like this aspect of mixing the arts after it gives them a topic of conversation, you know. And it's also a way for me to shed light on some businesses that I like, and mostly run by young women like me who became my friends. And it's just a cool way to, you know, team up, mix our communities, basically.
A really, really cool aspect of your film club is that it's very affordable. Like, tickets are never over 10 euros. Was that like a really strong decision from you? You wanted to keep it open for the larger majority?
Yeah, the ticket price is always the price of the theater. We don't change the ticket price. I don't think one should pay more because there are subtitles in English. So yeah, that was a decision since the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And so what are the next steps that you're working towards with Lost in Translation?
So the idea right now would be to export the concept to other cities in France. We started in Biarritz this summer, and we're going to start in Caen, in Normandy, in December. So taking things slowly, but probably soon, Lyon and Toulouse. And when it's possible, I would like to film the debates that I organize in Paris and screen them simultaneously in the cities which participate. So that's a kind of model I would like to keep growing. But it's pretty hard to build the same communities in other cities. Firstly, because the English-speaking community in Paris is much larger than somewhere else. And secondly, because it took me a few years to build this community. And now I have to try and copy and paste this in other cities. And yeah, in Paris, it took me a lot of time. I remember, for example, I made a Google Maps with 150 addresses, you know, with little yellow stars on Google Maps. And I went to each single place with my flyers and my posters and telling people, we're starting this, tell your customers to come. Well, now everything is online, so it's much easier. But yeah, it's going to take a while, but that's my plan.
So now that you've been showcasing a lot of French films, mostly recent modern cinema. But if you, it's the impossible question. If you had to screen one French film that you would like everybody to discover, what would it be?
Yeah, so we showed 300 films in total for about 30,000 spectators. But there's one film I've never managed to screen because it's currently being restored. The director passed away last year. I got it tattooed on my arm. And it's Betty Blue, 37:02 le matin. That's the film that made me want to work in the industry, and I would really love my community to be able to watch it. It's available online on our VOD platform because we have a VOD page on our website. but I haven't been able to screen it in a theater ever, and that's a very big frustration.
That would be awesome. Yeah, that would make such a cool screening. Well, thank you so much, Manon. I recommend everyone who's listening to this to attend, if they're in Paris, to attend the next screening. Thank you so much.